This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Valentine's Day. I think we're supposed to say that, right? To start off today. Happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have a Valentine in your life that you're celebrating with. And if not, then just happy Valentine's Day to you. It's me. I'll be your Valentine today. Right now. Here. Happy Valentine's Day. From me, Sal Capaccio. There you go. It's not really, you know, it's not like an official, like, federal holiday. It's not like schools are closed. In fact, schools are open, and it's like the best when you're a kid. It's kind of like that awkward thing. You probably went through that, Josh, right? When you're in like middle school and you give out candy hearts or give out the little cards, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting time back then.
So my son has today, like, you know, some schools, they don't give out candy, or they do, or they don't let you bring it in. I know everybody's got a different thing, but yeah. And then, you know, you kind of give someone a certain, the hearts that have the little things written on them. And, you know, when you're in like, fifth grade, sixth grade, heck, maybe you're in 11th or 12th grade, and you're like, oh, I want to give that girl, that guy, this heart with has this little extra meaning on it or something, you know? And, oh, that one's from me. Or you get the cards, remember those little tiny cards? Like, you'd buy them in the packs, and you'd have to distribute them. So by the end, I don't know if you guys did this. I mean, maybe this is way old school, Josh, what I'm about to say. But, like, when we did it back in the day, like, you distribute the cards, the Valentine's cards, and everybody had to get one. It wasn't like you were leaving kids out. I guess you could do that. But so at the end of the class, you'd literally have like 25 Valentine's Day cards.
Yep. It was the exact same thing back then for me. Like, it was, we actually had like a mailbox in other rooms. Like, if you had friends in another class, you could like go out and put it in the mailbox and then come back into your classroom. And like, everyone in your classroom had to get one. But then if you could bring extras and give them to like, oh, my friends in the other class or whatever. Like, I don't know. It was a weird system, but like, it was kind of cool. Just to like be like, hey, you got mail. Like, it was kind of a fun thing to have, like, when you were like, I don't know, in like third grade, like, oh, wow, I got mail from my friend across the hallway. And like, we would do it for everything, not even just Valentine's Day. Like, it would just be like random stuff that we would just put in these little mailboxes. It was kind of cool, but I think we only did it for like a year or two, and then it just kind of went away. I don't know what happened, but
now they just text each other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like, now you just text your friend in the other classroom. I know there's a lot of debates about, you know, cell phones, but seriously, like, that's what people are doing now. They bring their cell phone to school and they're like texting each other. Oh yeah, my friend's in the other room. I don't have to send a mail or anything like that. I do remember back at this time period, it had to be a middle school type of age, where elementary school, I guess, I don't know, third, fourth, somewhere in there. And there was a girl I really liked, and she gave me a card like everybody else did. You get all these cards, and there's probably 12, 13 girls in the class or whatever, and 12, 13 guys in the class, whatever you got. And I just saved that one. Everything else, like, at the end of the day, end of the week, whatever, you throw it out. I'm like, oh, no, I gotta save that one. And I, like, hid it. I hid it in one of, like, my dresser drawers as a kid in my room. And then I remember, like, a few weeks later, Like, my mom's like cleaning out the dresser drawer. She's like, oh, what's this card? And that was totally embarrassing. I'm like, oh, I don't know. It must have just like kind of fell in there. You know what I mean? And then you had to kind of give it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was going to throw it out. So that was a little embarrassing. But that happened. You know, I mean, hey, you know, you just had to, I wanted to hold on to it. I want to hold on to it, dear. I wonder what ever happened to that girl, by the way. Good morning. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today on a Valentine's Day Friday and also a last day for me for a week here on the air. And then I'll be back at the NFL Combine a week from Monday. So let me just kind of set up what's happening so you know and you're ready for it, because it's going to come fast and furious after a winter break next week, which we're going to talk about in a little while. After winter break, which is a lot of winter break for a lot of people. And I know not everybody out there. I know some kids actually have school and it's not winter break for everyone. But next week's a big winter break for a lot of people. And it's a vacation break for me. I'll be gone. So Zach and Josh and Derek, I believe, all three of you are going to be hosting in this time slot next week, correct? Is that what's going on?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do a little rotational thing. I think Monday it's me and Zach, and then I'm not sure in the other days, but I know Tuesday through Thursday is Derek and Zach, and then I'll still be here working the board.
Okay, so you guys will have 10 to 12, and you won't hear from me. I'll be gone, and then on Monday the following week, which is Monday the 24th, that is, excuse me, that is the NFL Combine, the start of it, the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Now, the Combine actually kind of doesn't really kind of officially begin until Tuesday, but because Sean McDermott is on the competition committee, which meets all week, just like last year, he's actually going to speak to the local media on Monday, February 24th at 4 p.m. Our plan is to carry that live for you during Shope and the Bulldog. That will be the first time we've heard from McDermott, obviously, since the end of season press conference. So, you know, he'll be asked about James Cook and some other things around the roster. But if you want to know about, you know, James Cook and being asked, that'll be Brandon Bean. Now, Brandon Bean will talk on Tuesday, the 25th, from the Combine at 2 p.m. My assumption is you'll hear that live on One Bills Live. But either way, I'll be at the Combine that week covering it, and we'll talk about it. We'll be on, and I'll be on in the morning show and the afternoon show. But that's the NFL Scouting Combine. The 24th is what it really going to start off here in Buffalo. The 25th, which is Tuesday, 26th and 27th, and then throughout the week. And then you have the workouts and things like that. And I'll be back here in Buffalo by the end of the week, by the time a lot of the positions work out. It's really more about talking with the GMs, talking with the coaches around the league, and talking with other media members. That's really what, you know, the part of the Combine for me that's the most valuable is gathering that information. And then all the testing and stuff you can watch and you can see, and we'll have all of that, and we'll get more into draft, and we'll talk more about like what people, you know, want to do in the 2025 NFL draft. That's going to happen in a little over a week. Next week is, like I said, winter break for a lot of people. So maybe you're going away. I'm going away. That's why today I figured it would be good to have Patrick Hammer on. Patrick Hammer, maybe you're going to be home all week. And I've heard about a lot of snow coming next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. I don't know if it's how much snow, but we'll talk with Patrick Hammer today at 11:30 a.m. So we'll get with Pat today at 11:30 a.m. And if you're wondering what this weekend, next week into winter break is going to be like, myself, I will be on a cruise. And we'll be heading to the Western Caribbean, going to Mexico and some cities over there, going to see some really cool things, going to swim with some dolphins, going to be awesome, going to recharge the batteries a little bit, spend some time with the family after obviously a long, you know, football season. Very cool. Very much looking forward to that, and going to have some sunshine. So that's where I'll be next week. But I can't go anywhere without having internet. I don't know if you're like this, Josh, but no matter where I go, if I go on vacation anywhere in the world, like I tell my wife, I'm like, I have to be plugged in. I got to know if something happens. Like, who knows? If I find out, like, I do not want to be independent of the job. I might have to come on the air and just like, I don't care, I'm on vacation, I'm coming on. I mean, what if the Bills make a big move? Like, I need to know, or the Sabres. I cannot be detached like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I went to Mexico a few years ago. The weekend the Bills played the Ravens and they had that big comeback, we couldn't get the game streaming anywhere. And we just kept checking our phones and checking our phones. And it was like the end of the game. And someone's like, oh, I guess I'll go check. So he hops out of the pool and he runs back. And he's like, the Bills won. They made the comeback. And we're all like freaking out and everything. Like, it was It was an awesome experience. But, like, it was one of those things where it's, like, you can't watch the game, so you kind of have to, like, you find out how much you're missing. Like, you find out, like, you're really,
yep,
you know, not dependent, but I guess, like, kind of dependent on, like, mm-hmm. what's going on in the game? I need to know. And, like, you can't watch it. So it was an interesting feeling. I never really had that because I've never been out of the country. So, like, every other place you can usually find somewhere to stream it or find a restaurant that can stream it or whatever. But, like, it was such a different experience for me.
2006, Sabres, Carolina Hurricanes. I was flying to Europe with my wife during game six and had no idea what was going on. And the Sabres won in overtime. Remember that game? Sabres won in overtime, game six.
That's...
like, I had no idea. I had to wait. Like, when we landed, wherever I can't remember the exact cities we went to, like, where we stopped over. Once we landed, I had to do that thing where I literally went to, like, I think even a payphone at the time, and had to call, like, my cell phone. I didn't have service in Europe to go to my voicemail to check my voicemails. I had a friend leaving voicemails on my phone, and I had to go kind of punch in the code to find out what happened in the game. That's how I found out.
That's actually really cool, but that's the most mid-2000s story I've ever heard. Like, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, it's just the funniest thing ever. Like, you had to call your voicemail on your own phone from a payphone. Yes. Like, it's just, that's awesome.
So that, and oh my God. And like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you plan a vacation, like, it's hockey season. It goes so long. So you don't know necessarily, you know, when it's going to end. But I remember thinking after that, oh my God, I can't. And game seven, I don't remember watching game seven. I can't remember where we were. We might've been in Italy or in Germany at the time. We had gone over that way. And I don't remember exactly where we were during that day, but it was a totally different time. You know what I mean? Like the time slot, of course, because I'm so far ahead in Europe at the time. So yeah, for me, I got to be plugged in. So I'll know what's going on. And, you know, who knows? I do remember one year I was in Florida on vacation. That's only Florida and still East Coast time, United States, playing golf. And I believe that's when the Bills may have not traded Tyrod. Maybe they signed an extension. There was a trade they made. And I said, you know what? And I went on with Shopin' the Bulldog. And I'm on vacation. I'm like, well, you know what? I just kind of need to talk about it. So those kinds of things happen. People have told me in the past, don't ever do that. Because if you go, like, if you work when you're on vacation, they're always going to want you to work when you're on vacation. I don't subscribe to that theory. I'm just like, I don't know. It's what I do. Someone wants to talk to me about the Bills. So, you know, they made this big move and my station wants me and I'm on vacation. But guess what? I'm just hanging out at a restaurant right now. So I'll give them a call and I'll go on for 20 minutes. So I don't mind doing that. Who knows what's going to happen over the next week or so. But yeah, that's where I'll be, and then headed to the NFL Combine right after that. Also today, it is a birthday of sorts today. I just want to say on a personal note, today is, I don't know, I've been open about this, so I just want to say it because I want to thank the people who really have made my life much better. A year ago today, I received a pacemaker. And I don't know if, you know, how many people, you know necessarily that story, but I've shared it personally. There's nothing wrong with my heart. I had a condition. I still have, I guess, a condition where I passed out a lot in my life. And over the last, you know, like 5-6 years, I had a few really bad episodes where I passed out and I hit my head pretty badly. And back about 5-6 years ago, it was recommended to me that I had a pacemaker put in. I was in my 40s at the time. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm too prideful. No way. That's for an older person. And then my cardiologist said, well, everybody who says that they don't want to do it, something bad usually happens when they have this kind of condition you have. And, you know, just letting you know, like, you're setting yourself up for something risky to happen. And I took that risk, and I shouldn't have, because I had another episode and I hit my head and I passed out, hit my head. It was a pretty bad scene. And I got rushed to the hospital, and that was a year and a half ago. And I said, you know what? I got to do this. I got to get this pacemaker. I have this family. I have a son. I can't be like risking driving with him or my wife and something happens. So I'll always remember it happened on Valentine's Day last year. And, you know, because of the heart. And I went into last year and I got a pacemaker, and I have one. I wear one. It's part of my everyday life. There's nothing that's changed about my life other than I never have any times where I feel like I'm going to pass out, which is awesome. So they did a great job. And everybody that was a team that helped do that and be a part of it in my life, I'm just forever grateful and thankful. I don't talk about it a lot, but I've been open about it. And I also want to say it's an opportunity for me sometimes on this platform or any platform to say, you know, we should all just take a look and think about our health. and never, I was too prideful. Don't ever be too prideful. You know, if it comes down to taking care of your body, taking care of your health, and, you know, being there for your loved ones, and, you know, don't be selfish. Don't be too prideful. And I was about 5-6 years ago when it was recommended to me to get a pacemaker, and I did that, and I shouldn't have been, because I'm so thankful for it now. And I've done some work with the American Heart Association since then. I've learned a lot about pacemakers and obviously CPR and AEDs and all those things. And you know, the DeMar Hamlin thing that happened, I was on the field for that. So a lot of those, they've all kind of converged in my life in a lot of ways. So I just want to say thank you to the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the people, the cardiologists who over the last several years have been really kind of helping me along and got me to a point where I was much more comfortable doing it, and it's kind of the best decision I ever made in my life. And I will tell you this, Josh, after doing it, I never realized how healthy and fit I could be, because I've always been a healthy and fit guy, but ever since I got the pacemaker, I'm like, I'm going to make sure I just stay on top of everything, and I feel at 51 kind of better than I've ever felt in my life, which is really cool, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's I didn't even realize it was the year anniversary. I'm thinking back now, yeah. And I'm like, wow, yeah, I remember that, you know, the day me and Zach, I think, filled in for you and everything. And, you know, yeah, it's just awesome. Like looking back on it and seeing how well it went.
It was an easy quote unquote procedure. Right. When you think about things like that, I remember the one thing I remember, I'll tell you just to wrap up this story. The thing I remember about going into the hospital and, you know, they wheeled me into this room and I'm like, okay, this is going to happen now. Excuse me. And they gave me some, you know, anesthesia. And I remember just kind of talking with the doctor very briefly. And then literally, I remember going and back being wheeled back into another room. And I said, are we about to start? And they said, no, we're done. You have it. It's inside your body now. I'm like, what? I had no idea. Like, that's how quick it happened. You know, so it was a procedure that kind of was way quicker and easier than I thought. But anyway, thank you so much. And again, another just reminder to everybody out there. If you're, you know, someone out there that's got something going on and you've been putting something off, just think about your loved ones. Think about your health and the people around you who care about you. And, you know, I'm so glad that I finally made that decision after putting off that decision for a while. 803-0550 is the number to call today. We're going to get with Sal Majorana at 11 a.m. Sal is obviously covers the Bills still. He's on the Bills beat, covers them over in Rochester for the Democrat and Chronicle. But also, can we believe it? It's baseball season. Zach, look outside your window right now. It's baseball season. Yeah, that's right. I know. Sounds weird, right? As I said, Zach, sorry. Josh, look out your window right now. It's baseball season.
Let's put on the ice skates. Get out
I know, right? I mean, don't the Bisons open on the 21st or 27th or something like that of next month? Like the Bisons, first game for the Bisons. Here we go. Let me get this for you. Hold on, this is crazy. I should know this. I'm going to look at this right now. In March, here we go, the 28th. Yep. The Buffalo Bisons play a home game on the 28th of March against Rochester. And you look, that is how many, like 5 weeks from now? It's crazy, right? It's amazing when you think about that. So yeah, they're going to be actually playing a game on that day. And it's going to be really interesting, you know, because baseball season's around the corner. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about that is pitchers and catchers have reported to training camp. Spring training, I should say. And Sal Majorana is a big Yankees guy, but big baseball guy. And he's got a great, great Yankees newsletter he puts together. This guy, it's free and it's a labor of love. I want to ask him about how the Yankees are positioned. You got Alex Bregman now signing with the Red Sox. What does the AL East look like? How about Soto going to the Mets? So we'll sprinkle in a little baseball today as we get towards February break and spring training happening down in Florida. As far as the Bills are concerned, so we had a report yesterday from Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News that said he is reporting that the Bills have moved on from their strength and conditioning coach, Eric Ciano. And Ciano's been with the team for quite a while, since 2010. And that has not been confirmed, you know, by the team or anything like that. But there's obviously a report from a media member. And I think that immediately when people think about that, they go right to, well, because of injuries. And I've dealt with a lot of people this whole year, but even recently telling me, oh my God, too many injuries. Folks, the Bills were not very heavily injured this year. They just weren't. They were actually one of the healthier teams in the league. I wish more fans would stop looking at their team just through, you know, blinders and only that prism and look at the whole league. You have to compare the league. You have to look at what's going on in the league and what the actual numbers are. And while the injury report every week looked a little bit long, of course it was, you know, with certain, and it was with names, I should say, that's not how you determine that. A lot of those guys were, you know, they might have been limited participants, but you're managing them throughout the week. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's something with injuries. If this report is indeed true, I'm sure it's something with injuries. But I just want to remind everybody that the words strength and conditioning are two different words. There's two components to this. It's the conditioning, which is injuries as well. It's also the strength part. And I'm reminded of what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talked about at the end of the season last year, or just a few weeks ago, which is, you know, Dalton Kincaid and play strength, right? He needs to have better play strength. They want to get him there. And how Keon Coleman wasn't as physical when he came back from his injury. Now, that's not the same thing. I also think that, you know, we've taken a lot of calls over the years and heard from a lot of people saying the Bills are too light on defense. And I do think it's a fair criticism if you think they should be bigger and heavier. But my counter to that is, hey, you kind of have to do it one way or the other. Do you want to be that, or do you want to be more athletic to be able to go against these spread offenses? The Bills have kind of chosen that. They've chosen to be a little lighter and more athletic on defense. That's why I think, you know, Terrell Bernard is a smaller, undersized, if you will, middle linebacker. But I think he's really good at his job because you can keep him on the field for three downs. And he's very physical and he holds up against the run. Now, he's not as big, so he can get, you know, sometimes maybe there's a guy that can, you know, eat him up and swallow him up if he gets on him. But the guys like Bernard and Milano, what makes them special at what they do is they don't get in those positions, and they basically are able to run around those things or use techniques to get around those types of things. I do think on the defensive line, it's been something we talked about a lot with Ed Oliver. You know, Ed Oliver, is he big enough? Is he strong enough? The Bills have gone with a model on the defensive line of having a smaller interior. Now, Daquan Jones isn't small. He's over 300 pounds, but Ed Oliver certainly is. He's undersized, and they want to have penetrators, right? So then you look at, what about Greg Rousseau? Long, like, lankier guy, right? AJ Epinesa, remember when he came in the league, wanted him to lose weight, gain weight. There was this whole thing about all that. There's different things you have to think about when it comes to how you build a team and build a roster. And one of those things, I think, what I'm seeing now, if this report is true, and then tying it to also what the Bills did within the past few weeks, which is hiring new personnel on defense, like the coaching personnel, this guy Nielsen, who came over from Jacksonville and other places, Atlanta, and he has more experience in man-to-man. And then Mike Pellegrino reportedly coming over from New England as a secondary coach in some capacity, who also has more experience in man-to-man. And I'm trying to tie all of this together right now, and I'm trying to see the big picture of how they're building the organization and what they want, which is, okay, you tell me Dalton Kincaid needed a little more play strength, and Keon Coleman wasn't, you know, physical enough, and, you know, after the, and whether that is, maybe that's a separate bucket. But then I think about, okay, they're maybe shifting more to a man-to-man philosophy. And then if they are moving on from strength and conditioning, I think it might be more about the strength than it is about the conditioning / injuries. And it's very interesting to me. Now, you never know why teams make changes. Sometimes people are just in organizations a long time. They need a change. They need a different voice. That could very well be true, right? It doesn't have to be anything wrong, or they feel like, oh my God, we just weren't good in this area. Now, if you're great at what you do, it's going to be obviously something that you usually aren't going to make a change. But I wonder what the Bills' philosophy is going into next year, and if they're trying to make even more of a change in that regard. Do they want to get bigger and stronger? And maybe they're looking at that part of it and not just as much as, oh, this is about injuries or something. People talk about injuries all the time when it comes to strength and conditioning. That's what fans know a strength and conditioning staff to be about, is injuries, and they always relate it to injuries. I'm here to tell you, I think you've got to be careful with that. It doesn't have to always be about injuries. Now, there's got to be some of that. They did have a lot of wrist injuries this year. Someone said, oh my God, look at all the hamstring injuries. What hamstring injuries? They had a few. I mean, Bale Inspector seems to, unfortunately, always have a hamstring injury like once or twice a year. They've had some over the years with some guys, but really last year, they didn't have a lot of that. They didn't have soft tissue injuries last year. The pec injury that happened to Terrell Bernard, thankfully, he was back after a little while. And then obviously Matt Milano, the bicep, and that's one. And who knows, maybe that plays into a move like this. That was him tackling a bag and he wound up hitting his bicep on a human being, like a knee, a leg. That's what the way it was described to everybody. So who knows? There's always little things that add up throughout a year that could lead to something like that. But I look at, and I defended the Bills a lot last year on how many times people would say, oh my God, they're always so injured. No, they're not actually. The Bills actually, I think, led the league in fewest number of guys on injured reserve. They were one of the best teams in the league at not having guys miss games because of injuries. But certainly that's part of the component. Now, coming back from an injury, that might have been a bit of an issue. You have what they said about Keon Coleman, and then you have a guy like Dwayne Carter, who didn't see the field after his wrist injury. Juwan Smoot, he has a wrist injury. How effective was he when he came back? Maybe not as much. Amari Cooper, I mean, that was the year of the wrist injury, right? I don't know how much a strength and conditioning staff is going to have to do with a wrist injury. It's not. They're not injuring the players. The players are getting hurt doing football activities, playing on a football field. So I do think that if you see a move like that, and if it is true for the Bills that they did, move on from their strength and conditioning coach and maybe even staff, I wonder if more has to do even with the strength part than the conditioning part. It's just something I was thinking about a little bit today. So, just wanted to kind of throw that out there a little bit. All right. So that being said, I asked you the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense? Like, what do you want from the Bills defense? I'm going to flip it today. What do you want from the Bills offense? After hearing about Dalton Kincaid, after hearing about Keon Coleman, do you just need one speed guy to run down the field? Is that what you want? Do you want something else, like something about the running backs or the tight end position and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox? It looks like the offensive line is in a really, really good spot. I have something on that I want to share with you in a little while. When we come back, we'll do that next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. I asked the other day, what do you want from the Bills defense specifically? My question today, what do you want from the Bills offense? 803-0550. Give me a call. Sal Capaccio with you on a Valentine's football. Can we call it a football Friday? I don't know. It'll always be a football Friday because there's always football going on back after this timeout on WGR. Okay. Did you... when you go to X, Twitter, a lot of times you have the, if you set it up like me, and I don't know if everybody does, but it says explore, and it has all these different kind of topics, right? Like you have one that says Notre Dame appoints Mike Martin, manager, WWE Hall of Fame 2025, Michelle McCool, strong candidate, right? Something like that. Here's one. And it's funny. It says, Team USA's uniform choice sparks debate at Four Nations Tournament. And if you click it, I'm like one of the top tweets they feature because that's what I did last night. There's a few others. Shayna's on there who joins Sabres Live. And I wrote last night on Twitter, I'm like, I do not like these white helmets with the blue uniforms. And if you click that explore and says Team USA's uniform choice sparks debate on Four Nations Tournament, click it. My tweet, along with other people who really agreed with me, are on there. So I'm glad that glad a lot of you agreed with me. I did not like the blue jerseys with the white helmets. I would have preferred more of a blue helmet. Someone said that's what they wear, though, internationally. Not really. Go look at, I mean, maybe when these NHLers are playing in these in international tournaments like Olympics, but I went and looked at the World Juniors uniforms last time they played, and it was blue uniforms, a little lighter blue, with blue helmets. Canada wore red jerseys, sweaters, with black helmets. I don't know. I didn't like the blue with the white helmet. So anyway, I'm being the fashion police today on WGR. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Linda in Rochester. Go ahead and throw her up for me there. Josh, I appreciate it. Linda, you're up first on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What's going on?
Hi, Sal. I wanted to get a chance to thank you for all your hard work and insight and your call-in shows, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you on a Monday after we win, and even after we lose, it's still good to hear you talk because you help me feel better. So I'm real happy that you're there. And I have a thought about the draft, seeing people are putting in different wish list items. I think the Bills should draft a very speedy and athletic secondary person, safety or corner. I think that's what we need because there are a lot of speed demons out there that are wide receivers, and we could sure use somebody in the secondary to keep up with those guys. And I guess my parting thought would be, in the words of the great Josh Allen, be good, do good, God bless, go Bills. Thank you again, Sal.
You got it, Linda. I love it. I love it. That's a great Friday message on a Valentine's Day. Yeah, they need to get faster, Linda. I agree with you. I agree with Linda a lot there. They need to get faster, especially. See, here's what I think you really have to figure out now. And this is what we don't know, Linda, is are they planning on actually having more of this shift to man-to-man? And if that's the case, then I think you have to get a little faster. Now, Kyrie Elam is a fantastic athlete, and he's pretty fast, right? But I don't even know if that's going to work. And I know some people say, well, they go man-to-man and salvage Kyrie Elam's career. I mean, they've tried man-to-man with Kyrie Elam, and I don't know how well it's gone. I'm not even counting Kyrie Elam right now. I'm putting him in a spot where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Maybe he's on the roster. Maybe he's not. I'm not going to count on him, though. But if they're going to go more to a man-to-man defense, I do think they have to get a little faster. Because you're going to have to run with these fast, athletic wide receivers. You don't have to be the fastest team when you play zone all the time. It's still not, you can't be slow, right? I mean, that's not the point. But you have to be faster if you're going to run man-to-man and play with guys and match them up. And that's where I wonder, and again, I'll go back to what I said earlier about, is there a philosophical shift at hand here, A, to go man-to-man, B, to get stronger, bigger and stronger? You can do both, like the front seven. You could be a little bigger and stronger somehow, a little more athletic in the secondary. You know, that's the puzzle, though. You have to thread that needle. Good call, Linda. I appreciate it. And we'll see what they do in the draft. The Bills picking 30th overall in the NFL draft. Scheduled to. What's the chances they actually pick 30th? They don't normally pick where they're scheduled to pick under Brandon Bean. That's just the case. Especially when they're lower. Traded down twice last year into the second round to ultimately grab Keon Coleman. What do you want from the Bills offense? Let's get connected with our fans. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. All right. Got a couple of early tweets coming in. At Sal Sports, by the way. TLB says, bread and butter, easy plays once in a while. Okay. I mean, they have a lot of those, right? They have some bread and butter easy plays. They were not a team that threw the ball down the field a lot last year. So I'm going to say the other way, TLB. I think one of the things I want to see is more explosiveness down the field. And I think that doesn't have to just come from getting an explosive player. Of course, you want to have people who can do it. I think it comes from play design, play calling, and having your MVP quarterback with a rocket arm be able to throw the ball over the top of the defense sometimes. We didn't get that a lot last year. Matt Smith, I knew this would come, and that's okay. Matt says nothing. Pay supporting cast peanuts outside of O-line and spend all the money on defense. We just scored the second most points in the league with zero special offensive weapons. Josh with decent protection is all we need. That is true. They did score a lot, and I will be the first, but sometimes when it was a struggle, sometimes, and for the most part, it was very, very good. There were some games where it did not go great, and it was a bit of a struggle. The New England game at home comes to mind, right? Remember that game? They came back home from L.A., or Detroit, I should say, and they had L.A., then Detroit, and then they come home to New England. It just didn't go that well. Remember early in the season at Baltimore, a lot of circumstances there as well. But, I think they need more explosiveness. I agree. The offense, I think, is proven so far to be kind of self-sufficient where it can run itself because you have Josh Allen. But you know, I don't think you can just stand pat and just say do nothing with it. All right. Vertical threat that can separate, says Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Speed slash separator at wide receiver, says Barry. RJ, team just needs a true number one with a speed element. And see, I think that's where most of you would go. That's what I want to see. It's easy to say, well, then why didn't they draft Xavier Worthy? And look, Xavier Worthy looked great towards the end of the year a few times. In the Bills game, he did score a couple touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I mean, those were plays when the game was in hand, and he really didn't do much outside of that. I'm also here to tell you, I'm not sold on Xavier Worthy as an actual, like, every single week reliant player more than just a speed guy every once in a while to get the ball down the field. He only had over 500 yards receiving, and it didn't go great for him for much of the year against Patrick Mahomes. I think people see the highlights of Xavier Worthy, and you could say, oh my God, look at that guy, give me him. I still want to see him be able to be a first-round worthy talent, and to me, that has to be more consistency. I mean, we're sitting here talking about Dalton Kincaid's lack of consistency as a first-round tight end, which is true. I want to see that from Xavier Worthy in Kansas City before I say, oh my God, they hit a home run with Xavier Worthy. No, they hit a home run explosive player. They didn't necessarily hit a home run player that's going to be doing that on a consistent basis, because that wasn't the case last year. So the point is, to me, you have to be very careful. These guys go to the combine, they can run a 4.2, 4.3. I mean, 4.2, obviously, setting records. They could run a 4.3 and a 4.41 and say, okay, well, like that's fast enough. That's good. I want this guy. What else can he do to help your offense besides just put him on the field every once in a while to run go routes? I think that's what you have to be careful of when you're drafting. Now, maybe the Bills are in a position where they can do that. Maybe they're ultimately now in a position where, look, take a look at their wide receivers, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and you probably bring a Mac Hollins back, right? Where's this guy going to play anyway? I don't care. He's not playing a ton of snaps. Just get him because he's fast and put him on the field. I get it. If that's your argument, that's the way you want to go with this, I get it. I just think you have to be careful about saying, just get a speed guy. I want explosiveness. I want a speed guy. Believe me, trust me. If you just go and get one in the first round, he might be only that. And I think you got to have better than only that in the first round. I'm not convinced Xavier Worthy is more than only that right now. As much as he was very, very good towards the end of the year last year in some games. Steve says Hollywood Brown. Interesting. All right, Carl, I love it. Jamar Chase. Yeah, I'd love Jamar Chase as well. That would be great. Now that's a true number one receiver, right? I mean, Jamar Chase is legit. He might be the best receiver in the game or second best behind Justin Jefferson. But I mean, that's a true legit number one receiver who can do everything. He's not Xavier Worthy speed, but he's fast. He can get down the field and he can run every route. He can make every catch. And he's a quarterback that can get him the ball. Sir Chivalry says Deebo Samuel. All right. Interesting one there, right? Deebo's not the same player, but man, he does still excite me a little bit when I say, man, could you get the ball in his hands and go? I don't know. I don't want to, if he's going to be released, you don't want to give up too much for him. If you're going to trade for him, he's got a contract. Rumors going to get released maybe instead. That's probably the right way to go. I'm not sitting here clamoring for Deebo Samuel. I'm probably not even necessarily that interested, but that kind of skill set still intrigues me. 803-0550, the number to call. What do you want from the Bills offense? You can call up. You can tweet me at Sal Sports. Sal Marana coming up. Rochester Democrat and Chronicle at 11 a.m. Pat Hammer at 11:30 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You know, I love what I do. I'm not looking to leave. But if I were looking to leave, if I was, how do I become a GM of a college program? Holy cow. These guys, like, these are some big name people going into these colleges to be these GMs. And remember when Woj did it, St. Bonaventure, Andrew Luck at Stanford. I think that might be his title. Then we got Ron Rivera going back to Cal. I don't know if that's his title or not, but you got another one here. Mike Martin, NFL veteran Mike Martin, joining Notre Dame, has officially named Mike Martin, previously the director of scouting and advancement for the Lions, as their new general manager. You got another one here with Pete Thamel was reporting on, which one was his? Hold on, the Washington. Where's Washington? Here we go. Here's this guy. University of Washington is hiring veteran agent Cameron Foster as the school's senior director of contracts and cap management. So like a GM there. And I think these jobs pay really well, by the way, and why not? The college sports is such big business. We've always known that. But now the difference is it's literally like taking, because of the legalities of the landscape now, because of NIL and the portal and how they work and how much money that everybody needs to pay and is paying and go do it. It's not like under the table and being hidden from everything. It's out in the forefront. These colleges now are really becoming businesses for people who've been in. There's so much like pro, so much like professional sports, that colleges are, I think, rightfully and smartly hiring people who've been in professional sports. It used to be totally not like that. Think about it. Like, people would go from college to the NFL or college to the NBA. How many countless examples? Every once in a while, you'd get an NFL guy, go to college, didn't work out. But now it's like, I want to go be in college. I mean, Ron Rivera's going back to college. Andrew Luck's going back to college. This agent is going back to college. This guy from the Lions is going back to college. It's like, no, it is a professional model now. And of course, the biggest name lately, Bill Belichick, as a coach, going back to college. I mean, hey, if it works. You know, this week I've talked a little bit about like my apathy for where Syracuse basketball is, and I'm just so upset. And I don't know what the answer is, but I maybe Adrian Autry isn't the answer, the coach. And I'm like, go get somebody from like the professional ranks. We had Pete Sweeney on yesterday from Kansas City, who covers the Chiefs. By the way, fantastic conversation with Pete Sweeney. Really loved it. And he said, go get Billy Donovan. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Go do that. He's coached in college. I know that. And he won national titles with Florida. He's been in the NBA. Like, dad, those are the kinds of moves that colleges are making now. But yeah, I mean, like, kids, you want to be involved in sports? Train to be a college GM, because that's like the new frontier, and there's money to be made here. And I don't blame these schools and these teams. That's what they need to do. All this stuff still has to be sorted out, but they're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube, folks. For me, a guy like me, it's, you know, traditional college lover. Unfortunately, we're not going back to, you know, guys play 4 years, you root for them, yeah, yeah. So that's fine. I've accepted it. There's a lot of things I don't like about it, but that's the new reality and world, so you move on with it. And they're not changing it. There might be some tweaks in how it's regulated, which is needed, completely needed, to be a little more regulation for sure. But all this stuff, the House versus NCAA, all that stuff that's going on right now, there's more stuff on that today. Go read about it. If you just go to Google today, you want to go down a rabbit hole? Just go to Google and type in House versus NCAA, NIL, and just start reading. You'll be so confused by the end of it, because everybody is, including the schools. It's wild. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board, but can't do that right now because we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to have Sal Marana on. And Sal, of course, covers the Buffalo Bills for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He's a veteran Buffalo Bills reporter slash writer. He's written a lot of books. He's seen it all. We'll get his take on where this team is now, what they need to do, where the future lies in 2025, what he heard from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at the postseason press conference last week. But also, how about baseball? It's baseball time, baby. That's right. Sal, he's a big Yankees fan, but he's huge into baseball. And we got baseball spring training happening right now. So we're going to talk a little bit about where the AL East is and a couple of the moves that were made. Juan Soto going to the Mets. So we'll sprinkle in a little baseball on a sunny but cold Valentine's Day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, last hour of the week of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. And what a better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than to have somebody with my own namesake on the air with me. Sal Majorana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Always good to catch up, my buddy. What's going on, bud? How are you?
I am good. How you doing, Sal?
I'm doing great. The Bills end the season a couple weeks ago. We're all, you know, in the room there, and, you know, it's a long season. I know we gather in and everything comes up so quick, right? Is that like for you? You've been covering this a long time. Like, how is the transition, the quick turnaround when you go that deep in the season? Like, oh, wait, now we got combine next week. And then we got owners meetings. You got the NFL draft coming up. Like, is it just crazy for you how quickly everything goes?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had that same conversation with someone here in Rochester about how the suddenness of the season just ends,
yeah,
right? I mean, we're sitting there with 3 minutes to go in Kansas City, and Josh Allen's got the ball in his hands, and I'm thinking to myself, he's going to go win this game, and we're going to have a Super Bowl in Buffalo, and it's going to be 2 more weeks of coverage, and, you know, I've got my flight for New Orleans already booked, and then, you know, we saw what happened, and all of a sudden it's over. And you get back to Buffalo, like you said. Now, I was still flying, so I wasn't there for the locker clean-out day. But then Sean and Brandon talked, and it's just crazy. You're right. We should be preparing for a game in New Orleans, and we're talking about the end of the season. So I will say this, though. After 17 years of not making the playoffs, it's a whole lot nicer to have that suddenness happen at the end of January than the end of December. So that's a good thing.
No doubt about it. And to be quite honest with you, I know there's a bit of an excitement when it comes to a coach or GM search, but man, we had way too many of those, and you've covered far more than me. To not have to do that and to be in that mode every day, coach and GM and who's interviewing, that's also a nice departure over the last 8 years.
Oh, absolutely. Those were the worst times, Sal, you know, especially during that playoff drought. Because you remember when I started in 1990, Marv was already fully ensconced, and nothing happened until he retired. And then, you know, once Wade was fired, which was one of the dumbest things Ralph Wilson ever did, then it started that hamster wheel of every, whatever it was, 3 years or so, you're going through that coach search. And then Donahoe moved on, and it's a GM search. And, yeah, I don't miss those days at all. I am very appreciative that they finally got it right with McDermott and Bean. And these guys have been there now for going on 8 years. They've set a culture. They've set a foundation of winning, and it's a nice place to be if you're a Bills fan, minus the fact that, yes, they haven't cleared that last obstacle.
Do you get as kind of, I don't know what the even word would be, when you see it, you hear it, I get it all the time from people on social media especially, but people call in who just want to move on from the head coach, especially Sean McDermott, but even Brandon Bean. And I say what you just said, which is like, do you really realize how successful they've been? Like, I don't know. What is your response when people tell you those things?
Yeah, I tell them they're all nuts is what I tell them. Seriously. I mean, I don't understand. I get why people are aggravated because they haven't even gotten past the AFC Championship game, let alone win the Super Bowl. I understand it. But I've always been stuck on the same thing, Sal, that, again, having survived a 17-year playoff drought, you have to remember and think back to all those miserable times when the Bills, we knew the Bills were irrelevant. Even when they were going 7-9 all those years, you knew they still were not going to make the playoffs. And it was a feeling of hopelessness. These guys have come in, and ever since Josh Allen ascended to a superstar in 2020, really, is when that really started. Every year you go into the season knowing the Bills are going to be in this, they're going to probably win the division, they are going to be in this Super Bowl window for years and years, as long as Josh stays healthy. To me, that's comforting. If you're a Bills fan, you should be comforted by that, to know that your team is no longer going to be called, you know, the Siberia of the NFL, Buffalo being the Siberia of the NFL. This is a legitimate franchise that's always in the mix, and I know it sucks that they haven't won the Super Bowl, but, you know, there's been a lot of winning that has gone on here. A lot of great games have happened here. We've seen incredible performances by individuals. It's really, you know, I still call the Super Bowl era the golden era of Bills football, because it was. And this team hasn't reached that level yet, but this is a pretty damn good era of Bills football, Sal.
I'm assuming I know the answer to this, but when you say they haven't reached that level yet, can they still reach that level with this head coach? That's what a lot of people point to and say, well, look what happens, the defense once again, and you have this great quarterback and a defensive-minded head coach, and I think you and I both very much respect and know what Sean McDermott means and has done for this organization. But when people bring what they feel is a logical argument to say that, what do you say?
I say I think Sean is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He has adapted to the times, Sal. You and I both know that when, you know, those first few years, he was so uptight and everything was, you know, was paranoia central, which is the way a lot of NFL coaches are. I get that. But he has really, I think, adapted to the times. He has changed his ways. His game day management, I think his game day management has been pretty good these last few years. He's become aggressive because he knows what kind of quarterback he has and he can do those types of things. I think he's an outstanding head coach. Now, it comes down to players. We know this. You aren't going to win if you don't have the horses, and we just saw it in the Super Bowl. Kansas City did not have nearly as many horses as Philadelphia did, and that was the end result of a one-sided Super Bowl. You need players. Sal, you look at the Bills roster, they have Josh Allen, who's a superstar. I would argue there is not another true game-changing difference maker on the roster on either side of the ball. So they've got to start getting the players who are those types of difference makers if they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's not just on Sean. That's on Brandon Bean, the personnel staff, the scouts. They have not done a good enough job to get this team to that final level. They've done a terrific job to put this team in place to do what it's done, which has been very impressive, but they need better players to get to that final stage.
How aggressive do you think they should be then to maybe try to get a guy like a Myles Garrett, try to get a guy like a Max Crosby? Is that the kind of move? Are those the kinds of players that you're talking about, and how aggressive should they be in those pursuits?
I think they should be very aggressive to get, you know, a Myles Garrett or a Crosby or a Trey Hendrickson, whoever, whatever name you want to throw in there that could be potentially made available this offseason. And I understand the price is going to be pretty high, and that's the problem that the Bills face, is they don't have really. I mean, you think about the draft assets they have, Sal. That number 30 pick for the Browns isn't going to mean much in the first round. Mm-hmm. They, you know, a team can come to the Browns with a much better first-round pick, a much better probably first-round pick next year if it's going to take two. You know, the Bills might have some players that they could throw in the deal. And then the salary cap issue is a real thing. People who don't say the salary cap is real, they kind of make me laugh, because the salary cap is real. And when you're paying Josh Allen as much as you are, let alone some other guys who are very high on the pay scale, it's very difficult for Brandon Bean to make a Myles Garrett contract work. So all that being said, yeah, they have to try their absolute best and put the best possible package together, and hopefully it works. I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but they have to be in on it, and I would be wholeheartedly in favor of giving up a big package if that's what it comes to.
Sal Marinaro joining me here on the West Her Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Marinaro. By the way, writer for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, been following and covering the Bills for quite a long time, has several books he's written as well. We'll get into his Yankees love as well, but a little bit more on football and the Bills here. What do you make of this James Cook stuff that's going on right now? Where are your alarm bells, if at all, and how the Bills should proceed here?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of laughed when I saw it. Look, $15 million for James Cook is absurd. I mean, he had a great year. He was one of the best running backs in the NFL, and he was very good last year, too, in 2023. So I get where he's coming from and where his agency is trying to plant the seed with Bills management. But I'm sorry, Sal. James Cook played 45% of the snaps this year. If you're going to tell me that, you know, a guy like Saquon Barkley, who, you know, plays 80 to 85% of the snaps, or some of these other star running backs who are on the field on third downs and they're out there constantly, then I would think about James Cook. And, you know, I don't think I'd go $15 million, but he'd be in that, you know, $10 to $12 million range. But he's not that player, Sal. I mean, unless they're going to change his workload drastically next year and then look to extend him, I just don't see that being a possibility. I mean, it's absurd to ask for that kind of money. I get where he's coming from because he did have a great season. But, no, I'm not paying a running back that much. You can get running backs. I know it's an old cliche that you can find running backs everywhere, and there are guys all across the league who are proof of this. But, no, I'm not spending that much salary cap space on a running back when I know that I can get other guys to fill that role.
Yeah, and the issue, though, would be, and we know this, that Brandon Bean, one of the things he's really done well, Sal, is he hasn't had this happen to him where a lot of these teams, they go through these players with these contracts. Even Chris Jones of the Chiefs a couple years ago, right, misses the opener, right? That's not happened. Brandon Bean's done a great job of maintaining and not getting it to a contentious spot. I think the only one we've really had here is even Jordan Poyer, and that wasn't even much. He missed some OTAs, right? So how does he proceed? What does he do? Does he let this kind of maybe percolate where it could get ugly? Does he try to do what he can to extend him or say, you know what, maybe it's time that we have to look around elsewhere and see if James Cook, we can make a move?
Yeah, you've got him under contract for one more year at a bargain rate. No doubt he's on his original rookie contract. And you see where it goes, see where his representation is, maybe, you know, maybe in training camp or whatever, and see where things are. But, Sal, I'm at the point here where I let him play next season, and then if he goes to free agency and you can't get him back, then so be it. I mean, you start putting things in place right now, and in the draft, you probably draft a running back, you know, to make sure you're covered in that, because you don't know what Ty Johnson's going to do. Be nice to get him back, but he's also a free agent. I would draft a running back somewhere in the middle rounds and have a backup plan. You've already got Ray Davis here. Have a backup plan ready to go if Cook decides he wants to move on. But if you're asking me of the five guys that need extensions or are up for extensions, I think James Cook might sit last on my list of priorities.
Who would be first on that list? We're talking, by the way, so the fans know, Greg Rousseau going into his fifth-year option, then the rest of the guys, final year of their rookie deal, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, Khalil Shakir, and James Cook.
Yeah, Benford's number one. It's not even close. I mean, Benford is, I think it's criminal that he didn't even get recognition for the Pro Bowl, let alone All-Pro. I think he's a terrific player. People talk about he was the offset to the miss on Kyrie Elam because he came in the sixth round of that draft. I think he's a terrific player. You've got to lock him up. So he's number one on my list. And then if I go number two, Sal, it's a toss-up between Shakir and Rousseau. And Rousseau is going to get really expensive, which is why I think I might lean towards Shakir and then back him up with either you sign a veteran free agent or draft somebody, because I don't think he's a true number one receiver, but he's a heck of a player to have on your team. Rousseau, look, he's been a very good player for the Bills. I'm not saying that. But do you want to step into a situation where you're going to pay him $25 million a year when I truly believe that for him to be his absolute best, they've got to have a Myles Garrett on the other side? And I make the comparison to Phil Hansen and Bruce Smith. Phil Hansen was a terrific player because he had Bruce Smith on the other side. I think Rousseau is kind of the same way. I think Rousseau would be an absolute star if you could bring in a Myles Garrett or, you know, another number one type edge rusher. So I think Shakir would actually be number two on my list ahead of Rousseau.
Last one on the Bills for you. It appears as though they've made a change at special teams coordinator. The Bills, I don't think, have officially announced it, but it appears that Chris Tabor is going to be the new special teams coordinator in favor of Matthew Smiley. This is a guy that has 13 years as a coordinator. The last two coordinators for the Bills, Smiley and Heath Farwell, were both first-timers when they got the job. But Sean did say directly, yes, when he was asked, do you expect Smiley back? That was a couple weeks ago. What do you think happened there, and why do you think they made the change, and, you know, Chris Tabor and his experience coming in?
Yeah, I think the question was phrased, are you confident that Matthew Smiley will be back? And he, at the time, he said yes. I don't think he said yes, meaning yes, he's going to be back. He said, are you confident he'll be back? He left himself just a little bit of an out there, I think, with that response. So I think what happened, Sal, is very simple. They probably got together as a staff, you know, Pegula and Bean and all the others, and they came to the conclusion that we need better, and Chris Tabor is available. And, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. You look at his resume, that's a good special teams coach. He has had a lot of success in the league, and he was available because he had gotten fired in Carolina, was out of the league last year. So I think they saw an opportunity to make a pretty significant upgrade at a key coaching position, and they went and did it. So I think it's a good move. Well, we don't know for sure. We'll see. But it looks like on paper to be a very, very nice move for the Bills.
Sal Marirana joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Sal has a love for the Yankees, and he does it. He puts his blood, sweat, and tears into that love in a really great newsletter for any Yankee fan who's interested, any baseball fan. It's called Pinstripe People, and you can subscribe to it, and it's free, and it's awesome. You can get on the mailing list, and I get it, and it's really great. And he does such a great job. And now, of course, the Yankees, like everybody else, reporting for spring training. Are the Yankees better or worse today as a roster than they were when they ended the season in the World Series against the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think they're better, Sal.
Wow.
I was not on the watch.
That's a positive response about the Yankees from Sal M. I can't believe it.
Well, you asked me if I think they're better now than they were last year, and I think they are. I think they have a better top-to-bottom team this year because Juan Soto left. And that allowed them, if they had re-signed Juan Soto, and they apparently went almost to the 765 that he took from the Mets, which was absurd, by the way, but we can talk about that another time. Look, without spending that money on him, they upgraded at some key positions. I mean, Max Fried, you know, is outstanding. If he stays healthy, he's an outstanding starter. Devin Williams might be one of the best two or three closers in Major League Baseball, so they traded for him. Mm-hmm. They've added Bellinger, who can play first base on the outfield. Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know. He's aging. He's in decline, but he's probably going to be better on both sides of the ball than Anthony Rizzo was last year. So I like the things that they've done, and I was saying this the whole offseason until he finally signed with the Mets. I was not on board with the Soto signing because it was going to hamstring them from doing other things that they had to do to upgrade the roster. So I think they go into this thing better off this year than they were last year.
I love it. All right, I'm not going to wait. I want to get your thoughts on Soto going to the Mets. You said it was absurd. What do you think about that signing and that move for that organization?
That contract, I mean, come on. It's just ridiculous. The money that these guys are getting is just, that was just a crazy commitment by the Mets. And I understand what they were trying to do. I mean, yeah, you take them away from the Yankees. You're trying to take over New York City. I get all those things. Steve Cohen's got an endless budget. He doesn't care how much he has to pay these guys, but it is kind of crazy that he went for that much money. And quite frankly, I mean, he was great for the Yankees. You know, I mean, he was unbelievable last year. He was the reason why they got to the World Series. I mean, he was that big of an impact. But come on, he's not a good fielder. He's not a good base runner. He's an outstanding hitter. And in a few years, they're going to be paying all that money for probably a DH. And to me, you know, that's going to be probably 10 years of that career where it'll probably just be a DH. That was just a crazy expenditure. And like I said, thanks for the season. It was awesome, but I was perfectly fine moving on from him.
One of the guys that you won't have to be frustrated anymore with is Gleyber Torres. He's no longer a Yankee either.
Yeah, he provided much fodder in my newsletter every week, it seemed like. Yeah, look, Gleyber, it's too bad because when he came over originally, you remember that, I think it was 2019, whatever it was, that first season, he was just like a revelation. And I had known him because I also pay attention to the Cubs, and he had come from the Cubs organization in the Aroldis Chapman trade, which helped the Cubs win the World Series that year. Yep. So I knew a little bit about him. And he really was, at that time, projected to be a future star in MLB. And he was a good player for a while, but if there's ever been a player who needed a change of scenery, it was Gleyber Torres. So, you know, I hope he does good things for the Tigers. He's got a one-year prove-it contract, and he can go back into free agency. But I'm glad the Yankees are rid of him, for sure. There was just too many mental mistakes that drove you crazy every night.
Alex Bregman signs with the Red Sox. The Orioles have this team that I thought was going to be terrific last year, and the Yankees were better than them. It never really materialized. The Blue Jays still have quite a bit of talent, obviously. Who's the Yankees close? The Rays, obviously, every year always seem to be right there in the mix. Who's the Yankees' closest competition in the AL East right now?
Yeah, you know what? I think that Bregman move kind of pushes the Red Sox into that spot now, because the Blue Jays, we know, they've struggled to sign players. You know, they've got the big decision on Vladdy coming up here. I don't know that they're good enough. The Rays, they're pesky and they're, you know, always there, but I don't think they have the horses either. I think the Red Sox and obviously the Orioles, I think the Orioles can bounce back. They've got so much young talent, Sal, they're going to be good. They just screwed up by not improving their pitching staff. They really needed to make some moves in the offseason, and they didn't do it. So if all their young talent plays to what we all believe it will, they're going to be right there. But I think the Red Sox have made some really nice moves. You know, getting Bregman really helps them. You know, obviously Crochet is a terrific pitcher. They've done some nice things, and they also have, and I don't know all about their prospects, but from what I read, they've got a lot of good young kids coming up. They're going to be, you know, really good players for a long time. So we might get the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry reheated here this season.
Tell everybody where they can subscribe to Pinstripe People. I'm telling you, man, it's great. If you're a Yankee follower, you got to do this. And Sal does a great, great job of putting it together. How do people get involved with that?
Yeah, it's if you follow me on X, and I'll tweet it out, and you can retweet it for me, Sal.
But I will.
The post or the subscribe link is right there. You just put your email in, and you're good to go. You're on the list. So it's the top of my my X profile as my pinned tweet. But like I said, I'll put it out, and you can tweet it out for me. And
I just retweeted it for you, buddy. I just retweeted it for you as we were talking here, so I just did that. So everybody can go to Sal Sports as well if they want. If you're confused on which Sal feed to go to Sal Sports too. You'll see it. It's a great time. It says to sign up for his free Yankees newsletter. That's the best part. People love free things. This is a free newsletter, and it keeps you updated on what's going on with the Yankees. And I know you got a lot of other stuff going on as far as podcasts are concerned, books. Are you writing any more books? You've written like 30 of them.
Yeah, I'm stuck at 22. I don't see one coming down the road right now. But I'm doing still covering the team, obviously hanging out for dear life in this business. Sal, 62 years old now, so I still got a little bit of vinegar left in me, so I'm still going. But that and the Yankees keeps me pretty busy.
I love it, buddy. All right, listen, you have a great next few weeks. We'll catch up sometime in the off season down the road. I appreciate it.
You going to be at the combine? Am I going to see you there?
I will be there. Are you going to be there? We will. We'll have to.
I'm there every year. So we'll see you over in Indy. One of my favorite towns, by the way.
It is for sure. We'll get some shrimp cocktail together. Okay.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it, Sal Marinaro, right there. Great job. Great stuff. Check it out, man. Really, he really does a great job with his Pinstripe People newsletter. So go and check it out. I just retweeted it, and he does a great job of kind of putting it all together, looking back at past historical Yankee stuff, current Yankees, things that are going on, and just baseball in general. So it's fun to talk baseball right now as we think about some warmth and some sunshine. And I know I'm going to have some next week when I am away from here and then back into what it's going to be. It's going to be cold and snowy here next week a little bit. We're going to talk with Pat Hammer next. He's going to tell us all about it. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. I know a lot of you are you have kids that are off next week. It's winter break. Maybe you're sticking around, looking for something to do. What's the weather going to be like? Pat Hammer joins us next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Break it down. When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time. Patrick Hammer joins me now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. What is the best Valentine Buffalo sports name ever? It's got to be something like Bobby Hart or Mike Love, right? I mean, it's got to be something like that, Pat, right? Good morning to you.
Oh, my gosh. I needed to be prepped with this question because I can go in.
I've just thought about it. I'm just thinking about it now. It's got to be someone with the name like Mike Love, right? Mike Love played for the Bills for like 4 years. Like, that's right. A great name for Valentine's Day.
If I was by my computer, I'd pull up a roster and I'd just start scanning year by year, and that perfect name is there.
There was a guy named Bobby Hart who played a few years ago. He was on the Bills offensive line.
I remember him. And he was pretty good in the league. I don't know if he didn't do so.
Not as much with the Bills. He was actually a guy that Bills fans... and actually, he was like pretty terrible 1 year, and then he actually had a nice resurgence, and Bills fans didn't really want to recognize that because it was like, no, he was terrible. But either way, I remember that guy too.
Okay, you know what's going to happen? When this conversation's over, I'm going to hang out, and then the perfect name's going to come to me like at that moment. So
I love it.
Anyway,
all right, well, listen, you go do that. In the meantime, thanks for joining me today. Good morning to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
And to you as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have a February 14th Valentine cold day today. And then this weekend, I've been looking at some weather patterns going on here. Someone said to me, oh, my God, it's going to snow a lot the next week. Now, look, truth be told, I'm not that concerned about it. I'm getting out of here. Like, I'm not even going to be around. But I'm like, well, Pat might want to tell everybody what they should be prepared for coming up over the next weekend and week.
Yeah, we're one of those families with two kids on winter break who I think are homebound. So we're going to be going through it. So here's the deal. Next week does look cold, no doubt about it. One of the coldest winter breaks that we've had maybe since, like, 2015. So get ready for that. However... So today is a cold one, very cozy, if you will, for Valentine's Day with some sun. It's pretty nice, calm winds. Tomorrow we're going to get some light snow during the day, so it'll be rather scenic. For Saturday, temperatures, though, warmer than today. We're going to get up into the mid-30s. Now, here's the deal, and some people may love this, some people may hate this. I don't know. We had the potential of a blockbuster snow on Sunday. Right now, though, the track of this thing is taking a course similar to the system we had a few days ago, where we're going to get more rain than snow. Now, that means Saturday night, the snow around here mixes to kind of a freezing rain and then rain. And when you wake up Sunday morning, it's going to be probably wet and much of the day until the afternoon when cold air pours in and it refreezes and we get some snow. So if you're a snow lover, you know, this is kind of a bummer because we had the potential of a good snow. We're going to get some, again, a little tomorrow and then some late Sunday afternoon into Sunday night. The good news, though, at least temporarily, is the rain may wash away some of this ice that has just been crusted over every driveway and sidewalk since, like, the beginning of the year, because we really haven't had a thaw since the turn of the year. But that's going to refreeze in a hurry once again on Sunday night. And next week, President's Day, Monday, and Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to see highs in the teens and lows kind of close to zero. So it's going to be, I know, it's like, this is what's been weird. This season, we've gotten the cold, just not a ton of snow. I mean, we've got, you know, the snow on the ground is the same snow that we got back in January and some in February. It hasn't gone anywhere. You know, we're running a snowfall deficit in Buffalo, even though it seems like this has been a hard, you know, a cold wind. It's been cold. It's just that most of the snow has been across ski country. We've had snow. But again, we are running, like, I think 10 inches below normal. So despite the cold.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just thinking about this the other day because exactly what you said. I'm like, man, I haven't seen green grass in quite a while. Like, it's just been snow all the time, but yet it hasn't actually been snowing all that much. Has this winter been different? Because if you remember back now, I know I'm going back a few years here, but we've had some pretty big storms, obviously. We also haven't had that this year.
No. Most of the snow that we've had here has been lake effect, okay? And most of it has been south of Buffalo. There's been some in Buffalo, but it starting in February, we started getting those systems that kind of affect everyone, not just lake effect snows. But what we've also seen is that it's cold, cold, cold. The storm comes, it warms up for like 6 hours, and we get rain. You're like, how is it raining when it's like, it was just in the 20s, but that's what happened a couple days ago and what's going to happen this weekend. And then the system leaves and the cold air comes right back, but the snow kind of missed us. So now, having said that, I'm in the South Towns, the snowmobile trails have been open for like 2 months. We haven't had that in a long time, where we've had like 2 days of snowmobiling and then it melts. The trails have been open for, 2 months almost, which has been awesome for that. You know,
you know, you see the snowmobilers enjoying it and all of that. So that there's been, you know, that's been a big difference this season. We've had less snow than the last couple of years, but again, the snow that's fallen hasn't gone anywhere.
What's the deal with the ice? We've had a lot of ice this year too.
Oh, I know. It's been brutal. I mean, walking out to your car in the driveway, if you're not in the garage, is like you got to do the tripod walk or the penguin walk. I mean, it's because we've had these little melts, and then like our driveway is literally a sheet of ice because we had this slush and then it refreezes. So yes, it's icy, it's crusty, and that's been a big difference. Parking lots yesterday were insane. With the ice that was forming after a little bit of rain earlier. So the ice has been a big deal. You know that there's a salt shortage across New York State to treat the roads. You know, we're pouring, you know, ice melt on our walkway and up to the house just because it's dangerous, right? So unfortunately, we're only going to be adding to that because we're going to get a little bit of rain and some snow, and it's all going to... It's going to just, you know, the opposite of blowtorch. It's going to just rapid freeze again Sunday afternoon and Sunday night.
Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? Typically, I mean, for me, I think for a lot of people, I would say mentally you get to March and you start to feel better. Okay, get me through February. We get to March, right? It's kind of just like this mental hurdle we have to kind of get ourselves to. But we also know that's not always true. You get to March and we could have some really bad weather and cold and all that, but how are we looking as far as all of that is concerned as we transition here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I call Marcy the Lucy months because Lucy's holding the football, right, for Charlie Brown, and then Charlie Brown goes to kick, and then Lucy pulls the ball back, and it's like, we got the potential for spring, and not quite. This is right now, the rest of February is looking cold. This is going to be a cold month. March, likely going to kind of trend in that direction as well. We do not see any big pattern shift. We don't see, it's looking like maybe a little delayed spring. Can't rule out some warm days in March. You know, here it is mid-month and March is in our view. But to say that we see, okay, let's just get through this week and there's a big, I don't see that. I think we're going to kind of have to soldier on through this, at least into the first, the first week of March.
Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. All right, well, I'm taking off. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at it, but typically this time of year, I've looked at it. We're going to the Western Caribbean, Mexico. Oh. Cancun, Belize. I think I'm gonna have like mid-80s, pretty much. So I'm looking forward to that, pal.
Wait. Are you going to Belize? Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, I'm not trying to freak you out. This cold front that's coming through, there was kind of a joke that's gonna blast the midsection of the nation with cold. That front is going to make it all the way down to Mexico and approaching Central America. So I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be cold, but the same cool air is going to be kind of aimed at you, which means maybe, you know, upper 70s versus upper 80s. Okay. So we'll see. But you're going to have a wonderful trip. If I could sneak into your luggage, I would, but it's just, that's the strength of the cold air coming. It's going to chill Mexico all the way down through the Gulf and into the Yucatan maybe too. So
we will be in Belize City on next Thursday. So in 6 days, is that around the timing?
Don't tell your wife. That's the timing.
Yeah.
Again, Belize is pretty, it's pretty down there. You know, it's a beautiful.
I'll still take mid-70s, pal. Believe me.
Dude, I would take 40s right now, given what we've had. But yes, you're going to have a great trip. But I'm going to be watching the weather maps down there while you're there to make sure. And it doesn't get, the chill doesn't get that far. You're going to have come on. We're in Central. You're fine. I'm just telling you that the cold air won't be that far away.
Not right. Not like maybe it would be normally this time of year. Also, Cozumel and Costa Maya as well. Going to be down in those areas, so it's going to be a fun
beautiful.
Time, no doubt about
beautiful.
It. Yeah, for
beautiful
sure.
Spot.
What do you do? What do you got planned with the kids over winter break? Anything? You gonna go sledding then? You gonna you know what happens sometimes? Our street does freeze too. Like, and sometimes I'll just take the sled and let's just go kind of in down the street in the sled, basically in the ice. I mean, it's crazy the way it gets out here sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the sledding's great. There's this great tubing spot now at Holiday Valley we want to go check out. To be quite honest with you, right now, it's different now. My daughter's waiting on college letters of acceptance.
Oh,
and do you remember? Okay. So right now, we're kind of in that mode, like, you run out, well, you and I, we would run out to the mailbox and see, is it a small envelope or a big envelope, right? Well, now it's all online. You get an email saying you're in or not. So it's kind of hard for us to go anywhere when we're kind of like, that's kind of top of our mind right now, to see if, you know, the destinations, you know, that she wants to go to, she gets in. And this is a kind of time where you start to hear. So we're not going anywhere. Spring break, a different deal, but winter break, we're kind of hunkered down and take advantage of, you know, the snow and the cold can be good. You know, it's not going to be the kind of cold that you can't go outside. Getting outside next week, the kids to enjoy it. It doesn't look terribly snowy next week. It just looks cold, but enjoy this snowpack because you can do a lot with it. Nothing to keep you locked in next week for the kids, that's for sure.
And then just so you're aware, then right after the trip, the vacation, I'll be at the NFL Scouting Combine immediately after that. That's in Indy. I've looked at that forecast. Same thing. It looks like it's kind of typical. Might get in the 20s. In the lower 40s. Last year was freezing. I would leave my hotel to walk to the convention center where all the combine stuff was going on. And I mean, like, it was just bitterly freezing cold.
Oh, so I thought that was all, you could all do it indoors. You have to go out, I guess.
Well, generally, it depends on what hotel you're staying in. But generally, you have to walk to the convention center or get an Uber or something. It's just a few blocks from most hotels, but it could be pretty darn cold.
And this is a great week. I mean, the coaches are not as buttoned up. The general manager is not as buttoned up. You can talk to them. I mean, I've always enjoyed your reports from there and everybody else. You know, it's just awesome. I mean, you get good material. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing from you there. But, weather-wise, I got a hunch that the big-time cold is next week. The following week, it probably moderates a little bit. But February is going to end like it started, I think, on a cold note.
All right, before I let you go, next time I see you will be at the Make-A-Wish Gala Saturday night, March 1st. Looking forward to seeing you and Melissa Holmes and being a part of the gala and raising money for a great cause, man. It was a great time last year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Had a blast with you last year. You can't not fall in love with some of the wishes that Make-A-Wish is able to provide kids that are in need. The experience of a lifetime. Some of the stories are just tug at your heartstring type stuff. And last year was fun to do it. We had some connection with the Buffalo Bills. This year, it's going to be a great event. And hopefully raise a lot of money for these kids that really could use some of these wishes that Make-A-Wish are able to provide. It's going to be a good time.
Looking forward to that. Thank you for today. And we'll talk again in a couple of weeks, I guess. Either way, have a great rest of your weekend.
Enjoy 40-degree Belize.
Oh, come on now. Don't do that to me.
Right.
Thanks, buddy. You got it. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Better not be 40. Take a time out here. I'm just getting me worried now. I'm typing it in. Belize weather on next Thursday. That's where I'll be next Thursday. All right. Taking a time out. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday and week on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, wrapping up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Sal Capaccio with you, and you're going to have Zach and Josh and Derek all week next week. We're going to, what do you guys got going? You guys got something planned? I know you guys are talking with Becky Burke next week, UB. They're having a fantastic season, she is, with the UB women's program.
Yeah, that'll be next Tuesday, I believe, and I'm really excited to talk with her about that, because like you said, the season's been going great so far, so that's exciting. Other than that, you know, just your typical off-season chatter. What are we going to do with, you know, the Bills' defense and things like that? I know Zach's probably going to start delving into all the, you know, draft stuff as he always does, because that's, you know, like his thing. But excited for it. It's it feels like it's going so slow, but it's actually kind of starting to go fast again, you know?
In the meantime, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, USA against Canada. Very dialed into that. I'll have a, I'll be in South Florida getting ready to go on the cruise ship the next day. Already looking and scouting out, where are we going to watch that game, Max? We got to go watch USA against Canada. In the meantime, they're going to talk a lot more about that on Sabres Live coming up next, and the big 6-1 win for the United States over Finland last night. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Have a great, great weekend and week next week, everybody.